Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It is a freaking snowy Thursday affair, Dom. A happy hour. Welcome to it, fella.
Yeah, thank you, Crudy. Our fair audience, join us on the phones, 844-967-2789. I want to thank our last guest, James Santel, former U.S. attorney friend of ours, getting us edified to what's going on. Fulton County, Georgia, baby, they released the testimony. Got a little bit here I want to throw out there, Crudy, because Trump thinks he's exonerated. Of course he does. Crudy from the Washington Post. Georgia grand jury, perjury may have been committed in Trump election probe. What? Say it ain't so. The Atlanta area special grand jury investigating efforts by Trump and his allies to overturn the election loss in Georgia concluded that some witnesses may have lied under oath during their testimony and recommended that charges be filed. But those witnesses were not identified in the 5-page excerpt of the grand jury report made public on Thursday. A quote from the report. A majority of the grand jury believes that perjury may have been committed by one or more witnesses testifying before it. The grand jury recommends that the district attorney seek appropriate indictments for such crimes where the evidence is compelling. The unsealed document released today offered no major clues about the grand jury's other findings, although the panel pointedly noted that it unanimously agreed that Georgia's 2020 presidential vote had not been marred by widespread fraud, contrary, shocking, to what Trump and many of his allies has claimed. Here's the quote. The grand jury heard extensive testimony on the subject of alleged election fraud from poll workers, investigators, technical experts, and the state of Georgia employees and officials, as well as from persons still claiming that such fraud took place. We find by a unanimous vote that no widespread fraud took place in Georgia in the Georgia 2020 presidential election that could result in overturning that election.
Well, that's completely exonerating, Dom, right?
I mean, he was right, obviously.
The whole time.
Totally.
It was totally rigged, and he's been exonerated. So Trump must be feeling pretty good. Dom, you know, I like to play the little game of watching where the people are watching from, or listening, more accurately. They listen. It's an audio product. Greatest radio show ever, some say. But no one, sadly, no one listening in the great state of Georgia at this moment, Dom. We got him down in the villages in Florida. Hell, we got Miguel listening in Mexico City. I don't know why I know that's Miguel, but it's printed. Miguel in Mexico City is listening to us right now. He must have, like, self-named his IP address. Miguel. And Hortonville, Dom.
Yeah.
It's got to be one of yours, buddy.
You know it, baby.
Hortonville, Wisconsin. How big is Hortonville, approximately?
Oh, God. When I was living around there, it was probably 2,000, 2,500 people.
You know, I'm probably most impressed that we're being listened to from Kiev, Ukraine right now, Dom. Civic Media app. It's wonderful. You can take it in your pocket, take it anywhere. Nita, Fox Point. You got people all over the great state of Wisconsin. I can't differentiate all the little dots. And all around the nation, Dom, it's like people like us. They really, really like us. So thank you for listening. Tell more friends. Tell some people in Georgia. We need like a correspondent on the ground.
Right.
Because there's going to be a trial down there soon, Dom.
Yes, there's a lot going on in Georgia. Crudy, but Trump did today. They released a statement suggesting that not being named was a sign of innocence, Crudy. Even though most names were redacted from the report released hours earlier. I mean, maybe Trump, maybe you weren't named, but maybe you were redacted. Here's their quote. the long-awaited important sections of the Georgia Report, which do not even mention President Trump's name, have nothing to do with the president because President Trump did absolutely nothing wrong, the statement said. The statement again claimed Trump's phone call with Georgia was perfect. The calls came under scrutiny because Trump has been accused of press raid officials. Another quote. In fact, as president, it was President Trump's constitutional duty to ensure election safety, security, and integrity. President Trump will always keep fighting for true and honest elections in America. Thank you. Thank you to the special grantee in the great state of Georgia for your patriotism and courage. Total exoneration. The USA is very proud of you. 1, 2, 3 exclamation points, Trump added in a message on Truthy Social.
If it was less than 3 exclamation points, he doesn't really mean it, Tom. Doesn't really mean
total exoneration only had a period after it, and that, it was not capped. So I think he's a little concerned.
I also read it like he did. Isn't this totally exonerating of Trump? There won't be any indictments. I wouldn't even lawyer up Trump. I'd leave myself completely exposed.
Yeah.
It was a perfect phone call you made. First to Zelensky in the Ukraine, and then down to Raffensperger.
11,780 votes, which is one more than we have.
I'm going to need you to do me a favor, though.
Tic-tac up, baby.
Dominic, in case we got people listening in Arizona, who's our nice stoner lady friend? I mean, I know we got Rich and some Phoenix friends, but
we got Jerry. Yeah,
Jerry. I'm not accusing you, Jerry. It's a legal marijuana state. By your own admission, you're an edibles sort of girl.
Yes.
Well, I got some new polling out of your state.
Oh, really?
Ruben Gallego, congressman. He's a distant guest, but he's been on this fine program, Dom. Well, not only does he lead Kyrsten Sinema. She wore that sunshine yellow, whatever that was, to the State of the Union address.
Yeah, they had the Big Bird outfit.
That's a more accurate descriptor, I believe, Dom. But Gallego's leading everybody, baby. Let me tell you about the polling. Rep. Ruben Gallego, Democrat from Arizona, leads Senator Kyrsten Sinema, now calls herself an independent from Arizona, in a series of other Republicans in a potential matchup for Arizona's 2024 Senate race, according to a new poll. Now, I'm going back out to Arizona in April, Dom. I'm going to look up Ruben, see if we can work him on.
Yeah, man, get it done.
If nothing else, you know, I hear there's a fine sandwich named after the man somewhere. I like the Rubens.
Yes. Yeah, I know you do,
man. The poll from Ohio Predictive Insights. Well, it's OH. I can't assume that's Ohio. Predictive Insights, released Thursdays, showed Gallego leading in 8 hypothetical matchups, 4 of which against Sinema running independently, and 4 with Gallego facing a Republican in a head-to-head race. Did you get all that? So we've got a woman in Kyrsten Sinema that was elected as a Democrat. And as soon as the Democrats won back that slim one-vote margin, making her just a little less relevant, she flipped, called herself an independent. Now, you know, truth be known, so is Bernie Sanders, so is Angus Young. Angus King, my bad. Angus Young's a different guy.
The guitarist for AC/DC.
Yes, you know, also very similar. I hear he's also an independent to caucuses with the Dems, Dom.
I would imagine.
She's been caucusing with the Dems, but, you know, suddenly she's being primaried from, let's call it, the left. Ruben Gallego, because she certainly wasn't.
Well, it's
lefty.
Not a primary. She's an independent. She's no longer in the party. It's a Democrat running, an independent running, and a Republican running.
Yeah, but wait until the elections are coming, right? I mean, she was elected once as a Democrat. The power of the incumbency primarily comes from the dialing for dollars part, right? The infrastructure that the party offers the incumbent candidate. They would support their incumbent. I'm not clear that she's completely walked away from the Democratic Party infrastructure when it comes time for re-election. But here's her potentially interesting choice. So Ruben Gallego runs as the traditional Dem. Presumably, she was elected as a Dem, so there's at least some fondness amongst some of the base. They're going to know her name. She's the incumbent senator. So she goes and runs as an independent. You got a Republican challenger. And by name recognition alone, you know, the Dems vote for theirs, the Republicans vote for theirs, and she splits the difference and wins re-election. That would be your thought, but the polling would suggest otherwise. Here's what it tells us. And by the way, Dom, the four Republicans included were former Arizona Governor Doug Ducey, former gubernatorial candidate Karen Taylor Robson, former gubernatorial nominee Carrie Lake, your girl.
Isn't she governor?
She's not. And in fact...
Did someone tell her that?
The court, I believe, has ordered her to concede. You'll have to Google that for me. I believe I read a headline last night. There is an Arizona court if she doesn't concede the race, I believe I read somewhere she might be contemptuous, Dom, but, you know, you're so contemptuous, I'll let you do the Google. But let me read ahead. In a three-person race, Ruben Gallego leads by as little as 5 points in a race with Ducey, he again, the former governor, and as much as 9 points in a race with Masters. Now, Blake Masters is a weird duck. That was the Trump-supported candidate, the Senate nominee. Ruben Gallego leads by 7 points in a race with Tyler Robeson and by 8 points in a race with Lake. That's a three-person Lake. Race. He also leads in the two-person matchups, but the margin varies significantly based on who the Republican candidate is. He leads by 4 points against Ducey and Taylor Robson, but leads by 10 points against Lake and 11 points against Masters. But more than 20% of respondents said they are undecided in all of the matchups. Well, it's a long time till the election, but that is some strong early polling. What I take away from the state is that the two key factors in this Senate race will be the style of Republican nominated to run and whether cinema is also on the ballot, according to Mike Noble, the polling firm's chief of research. But there's a long time between now and election day. They always say that, Tom, which leaves plenty of opportunity for something to happen that can shift the dynamics of the race. Well, Dom, I'm thinking a trip to Arizona sounds awfully good on this snowy Thursday afternoon. You can be a part of our show if you're listening like the real Patriots do on the Civic Media app. I may give you a shout out. That guy up in Fox Point looks like he's stuck in the ditch, Dom. You might need to push. Come back, more Devil's Advocates. 844-967-2789. Dial now to talk to greatness.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have 1 foot in tomorrow.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open, 844-967-2789.
I don't know what the weather likes where you're listening, but here in southern Wisconsin, it sucks. And in Milwaukee, it's blizzard-like. The interstates were closed for a matter of time this afternoon due to crashes, so be careful out there. But, you know, if you're in a less snowy zone, and I did check just to see what Stoner Jerry was doing in Arizona, whether or not she's listening. She might be. A couple of Phoenix listeners. Jerry, if you're listening, 844-967-2789. Tell us what nice weather and crazy politics are like in Arizona. Yeah. We got a little crazy here in our own backyard, though, as well, Dom. And I'm looking at you, Bill from Muscadet. Welcome back, Bill. How's the weather in southwestern Wisconsin?
Hey, Bill.
Well, if I can barely hear you guys,
I don't hear
appreciate
Bill.
Dialogue. As far as Tony Evers bailing out the Brewers.
Yeah, what do you think of that idea, Bill?
You're talking $290 million to the Brewers. You've been to a Brewers game lately?
Yes, sir, I have. It's damn expensive, isn't it?
You think?
Seats, any sort of seats are $45 to $50 on up. I mean, if you get Loge, if you get the good ones, Bill, and I don't often do that, you're dropping like $100 plus for good seats, lower level seats at the ball game. I mean, hell, how much is a beer,
exactly,
Bill? It's got to be $10.
$10 a beer, right? That's probably
bucks
right.
For a beer?
Do you enjoy the national pastime? Do you listen to the Brewers on your local station, WRCE? You're listening to us right now, Bill, on that station. But are you a Brewers guy? Do you listen? I mean, pitchers and catchers reported today.
I like baseball, but I don't want to bail these guys out. I mean, this millionaire owner of the Brewers can't bail himself out for some maintenance issues. I give up.
I don't disagree with you, Bill. I'm not sure why we, the taxpayers, have to upgrade the stadium. Like half a billion of the overall cost in Tony Evers' proposed, like $300 million, $290, as you pointed out accurately, Bill. A lot of that is for refurbishing the stadium, like putting in new seats and new luxury boxes. You know, after 25, 30 years, the stadium gets dated. They want to, you know, spruce it up and generate more revenue from the stadium. But I don't know, I mean, what minuscule tax portion we, the taxpayers, get back on the generated luxury box revenue. But I'm not sure. I'm with you, Bill. I'm not sure. Tony Evers did not talk about this in the budget address, but he did obviously propose it. And, you know, Bill, he's going to have to make the argument Scott Walker did. Cheaper to keep him.
I tell you what,
Bill,
Bill,
if it pays for itself, of course, this comes along with a commitment for the Brewers to stay an extended period of time. It kind of redoes the deal. And I think initially, I'm with you guys as well. I mean, what was the plan? You know, when they put pen to paper a long time ago, Bill, and decided to put that extra tax on this area and set up create this entity that would, you know, have the stadium and sign the lease and so forth. I mean, did they plan for a $300 million shortfall? I mean, I can't imagine that they did. But that being said, Bill, if the money's given in and revenues, you know, turn around and it gets paid back plus some, would you then consider that to be a good deal?
Well, I don't live in Milwaukee County, so no.
I got a proposal for you, Bill. You could opt in or opt out proposal. And I thought this should have been the funding mechanism way back in the early 90s when they built this stadium. What about lottery tickets? Milwaukee Brewers lottery tickets. Even Bob Uecker many, many years ago was advocating for that as a mechanism to pay for the stadium. And if you're a Brewers fan and you want to support, you go buy Brewers lottery tickets. And, you know, you get some win, some lose. You know how the game's played. What about that, Bill? And then it's not on all of the taxpayers, or it's not even on the five county taxpayers. Because if you're not a baseball fan and you live in Waukesha County, why in the hell are you paying for American Family Field renovations? So why should any of us have to pay for it? Why can't we give people the chance to opt in through a lottery system, Bill? You know, like lottery ticket, lottery system.
Exactly. You guys are hard to understand tonight for something with the phone system, but I agree with you totally for once.
I'm gonna put you down as a smart guy tonight, Bill. I suspect the snow might be working against you listening to the phones tonight. It's somewhat snowy here in southern Wisconsin. 844-967-2789. Bear with, be careful on the roads, go slow, and keep it locked to the Devil's Advocates. Steven from Green Bay. Welcome, Steven.
Hey, Steven.
Hey, guys.
You guys getting hammered on the ground? Are you guys hammered? Is it like the frozen tundra up there today, Steven?
No, it's more like the frozen swamp up here in Green Bay. We got a little dusting, but that's it. And then I hear that Milwaukee and Madison's getting hammered, and I'm a little confused because I thought we were north of you, and I thought that we were supposed to get all that snow. But right. You guys took it for yourself, so... but I just wanted to give my thoughts on the whole Trump investigation thing in Georgia that came out today.
Sure.
And I guess I'm not really surprised about the whole perjury thing. I think I would have been more surprised if they said that there wasn't any perjury. Trump, that's what he does. He lies. And if he's not lying, he's sticking little Trump at the girls who don't want him to do it. So that's just kind of what Trump does. Hopefully, they'll move, quickly with this, and get something figured out.
Well, Stephen, they aren't moving quick enough for me. You make an interesting point. In the E. Jean Carroll defamation suit regarding the alleged rape, he allegedly raped this woman. And he famously said, well, look at her. She's not my type. And then in depositions, he thought E. Jean Carroll was his ex-wife, Marla Maples.
They showed him pictures of E. Jean Carroll, and he identified the pictures as his ex-wife, thereby showing that, in fact, she was his type.
Until corrected by counsel. Come back with us. Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weather reports from around the Midwest. Or worldwide, call us now, 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates, because freedom.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's Thursday. It's snowing like hell froze over. Dom, I hear blizzard conditions in Milwaukee near the lake shore. Not quite that bad here, but definitely looks slippery out there. Be careful if you're driving home or wherever you're going tonight. Dom, good news out of D.C. at this hour. The president, talking about Joe Biden in this case, the president got his doctor's report back, and he remains healthy and vigorous, Dom.
The most fit vigorous. President ever. Is he more fit or less fit than President Trump? After Trump's little game with his doctor, it's kind of hard to believe what people say about him. But go ahead. Please tell me.
President Joe Biden remains healthy and vigorous. His physician reported Thursday. Joe Biden will be happy to hear that. After a routine physical and is fit to successfully execute the duties of the presidency.
Man, woman, television, camera. Were there cognitive tests involved or just a physical test?
Well, let me read on, Dom. This is breaking news. I'm reading it as it breaks. The physical, which occurred earlier in the day at Walter Reed National Military Medical Center, did result in a small lesion on Biden's chest being removed for a biopsy. What about the lesion? It's not the tumor. Other exams of the president's head, ears, eyes, nose, and throat were normal. An extremely detailed neurological exam, Dom, found no findings that would be consistent with stroke, multiple sclerosis, or Parkinson's disease. So they've ruled out the big ones. Biden still experiences a stiff gait, the report said, and he was prescribed custom orthotics to help with his feet. My toes are also getting a little sore as I get older. Maybe I need custom orthotics. He continues to work out 5 days a week. Well, that's where we part.
How many days do you work out, Crudy?
Less than five.
Less than five, all right.
And his contact lens prescription was updated. I refuse to wear glasses, Dom, so.
Great, so no working out, no wearing glasses.
I pretend like my eyes are not in rapid decline. I am vigorous. Ask the missus. She knows.
Jeez.
The report from Dr. Kevin O'Connor is likely the last health report before Biden makes his re-election intentions known in the coming months. Well, I suspect the good bill of health will encourage him to run, Dom.
I would suspect so as well.
O'Connor said the most notable health event for Biden over the past year was his bout with COVID-19 over the summer. O'Connor said Biden's blood oxygen levels did not fall below 97%. I don't think Trump's ever rises above 97%, but that's a different story. And his vital signs remained normal throughout the ordeal. According to his health report, Biden hasn't experienced any residual symptoms considered to be long COVID. And Biden is being treated for a non-valvular arterial He's got AFib, Dom, and a regular heartbeat that O'Connor said Biden experiences no symptoms of. He experiences occasional symptoms of gastroesophageal reflux. So he gets a little heartburn now and again. He doesn't drink the tequila like you, Dom, so it's probably not the same cause. O'Connor said those symptoms are exacerbated shortly after meals. Eat a little slower, Joe. Don't rush. You know, give yourself time to digest properly. I often
chew your
rush.
Food. Chew your food.
Occasionally, I rush a meal because, you know, I'm late to prep for the show or whatever. I get indigestion on the air.
Gas station lunches, those are not good for you. Hopefully, Joel's not doing those.
Dom, 6 feet, 178 pounds, down 6 pounds from his last physical.
Wow.
President Joe lost 6 pounds. His blood pressure, 128 over 77. Biden did not drink or use tobacco this year, the document said. So,
way
very
to go,
similar
Joe.
To our lives there.
Yeah, not really. Well done, Joe.
You're about 178, aren't you, Dom?
Come on, man. Maybe over Christmas, over the holidays, you know, eating too many Christmas cookies.
Are you below 178 now?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, good for you. Stand up, though. You're still looking a little puffy.
Feel a little puffy.
844-967-2789. I take a deep breath and welcome CJ back to the show. What do you got today, CJ? You being
Hello,
careful on the
CJ.
Road, CJ?
No, actually, some current events, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I know you don't want to focus on this administration and its incompetence, but
vigorous, you know, health. Vigorous.
He's Palestine thing. He's AWOL. And the other thing is,
what?
Commander
wait.
Run.
This is a new one. Did Tucker talk about Palestine last night?
Hang on, CJ. If you're gonna play, you got to let us talk, man. Listen, that's how it works. So you brought up Palestine. Let Crudy say something. Listen, I'm not gonna ask you again, CJ. You brought up Palestine. Let us respond, Crudy. Please.
What is the issue with Palestine, as far as you're concerned? And where did you source that? Were you watching Tucker last night? Did I miss Tucker? Did I miss something?
No, I actually was watching. I watched C-SPAN and pictures of the event that supposedly the EPA and, you know, Buttigieg was invited, and he's AWOL. And, well, that's the one failure. But the other one is today the president came out and stumbled through the words of the China balloon and gave little or no explanation as the balloon flew over all our military, changed direction, went over installations all over our country, and this president is the big guy. And you guys are just watching a different movie. You don't talk about it. You don't care.
When there's really, evidence
you're worried about
presented, Trump, CJ, on Hunter Biden of anything.
Trump. Unfortunately, Merrick Garland doesn't believe he has the case.
Buddy, I'm done talking about Hunter Biden for today. Try me on a different day. I might have more patience for the topic. If there is any evidence that Joe Biden did something, I have no doubt the ne'er-do-well son, Hunter, used his father's name to his advantage, CJ.
Isn't it all also his name?
In fact, I believe the aforementioned Tucker Carlson actually also reached out to Hunter Biden to try and get his own kid into a preferred college. So that's how people do it, CJ. The rich and famous sorts, they trade on favors and privileges that you and I don't necessarily get. And I don't like it when it's my team, and I don't like it when it's Jared Kushner.
Well, it's one thing not to like it. It's an entirely different thing if there's something illegal going on. You know what I'm saying? You cannot like the fact that someone's connected and or not like the fact that someone says something on air and there's something totally different behind the scenes. You cannot like those things, and that's totally justifiable. It all depends on what you're into. But if it's not illegal, then really all you're doing is just bitching to the wind, man. So, yes, if Joe Biden did something illegal just like Donald Trump, I would want him to be prosecuted for it just like every other politician or every other person. You know, justice is blind. If I'm going to get prosecuted for it, they should get prosecuted for it. It's very simple.
Other topic CJ brought up, and I think this perhaps a more important topic, and CJ, you're right to criticize us for not getting to the Ohio train disaster, the derailment issue. And I've had a neighbor pointing towards this issue, and we haven't gotten there yet. So when you talk about Palestine, you're talking about Palestine, Ohio. I'm thinking the Middle East, dude. So I'm like, what happened in the Middle East that I missed? Is there a two-state solution brokered by Jared Kushner after the fact?
In Ohio?
But here is the headline, and I went to one of your favorite sources, Foxy News. Transportation chair to hold briefing as Ohio train disaster to uncover facts, and they air quote facts over on Fox News, as safety concerns remain. Now, this is a horrific disaster, and they have been bellowing these clouds of this toxic stuff into the air, and pets are dying, and fish are dying. And they're wondering, if I was a human being, I would wonder, well, am I going to be the next one to die? The House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee is planning out congressional oversight. I'm sorry, they write very poorly at Fox Digital. Is planning out congressional oversight of the massive train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, in order to fully understand the facts, beginning with a bipartisan briefing Friday. So, CJ, when there's a bipartisan briefing and we've got a little more information to offer, we'll get there. But here are a couple of the facts. On February 3rd, 50 cars on the Norfolk Southern Railroad train derailed, leading to a large release of toxic chemicals and endangering the surrounding community. I've spoken to the transportation agencies involved, including the National Transportation Safety Board, the NTSB, I've heard that before, the Department of Transportation, the DOT, we've all heard of that, as well as Norfolk Southern. Chairman Sam Graves, Republican from Missouri, told Fox Digital on Thursday. Railroad Subcommittee Chairman Troy Niels, Republican from Texas, is visiting the accident site in East Palestine, and the committee is planning a bipartisan briefing for House members to provide the latest information we have. The NTSB's accident investigation continues, so instead of speculating about all of the potential factors, and this is the Republican, just so you're clear, CJ, I want to fully understand the facts involved. When we have the facts, Congress can consider what next steps may be necessary. That, again, is according to the Republican in charge of this committee. So, CJ, we'll get there when there are facts to offer. This is definitely a bad circumstance. There was another train derailment, I believe, also involving toxic chemicals.
In Detroit, near Detroit
Michigan,
today.
Yeah. In Michigan. So this is a problematic sort of thing. And Pete Buttigieg is the transportation secretary. And, of course, he is a potential future possible Democratic presidential candidate again. So, you know, if you can chop him off at the knees right now, CJ, I'm sure Fox News has taken every crack at it. But if you'll recall, and I actually was forwarded a Fortune article back in 2017. I'll give all credit to my neighbor, Chris, on this. Donald Trump purposefully rolled back the regulations that would actually have provided braking to these railway cars.
Electronically controlled pneumatic brakes proposed by the Obama administration apparently would have cost about $3 billion to the industry, which made lots of money. And Trump rolled that back, right?
That is what I had seen reported at Fortune.com. Again, my neighbor shared this with me. Here was the headline, and Fortune is hardly a liberal rag. This September 24th of 2018, just the headline for you, CJ, Trump rolls back train braking rule meant to keep, wait for it, oil tankers from exploiting, exploding near communities. Trump rolled back train braking rule meant to keep oil tankers from exploding near communities. Now, what could possibly go wrong, ask the citizens of East Palestine, Ohio. But let's blame it on Pete Buttigieg. Because I'm sure that's what they're doing right now on Fox News. Because unlike Donald Trump, Pete Buttigieg might be a viable future presidential candidate. But I don't think they're going to bring up the Trump administration policy. Do you, Dom? Do you think they're going to accentuate that on Fox News?
I think if you're going to look at it, you need to look at all aspects of it. You're going to be honest with it. You know, the bills of lading, right? Was everything reported properly? Was everything disclosed as to what was being hauled? right? My understanding of the railroad union also thought that this could have been avoided. So, yeah, there's lots of people to look around. But at the end of the day, folks, this is capitalism, baby. You know, someone needs the stuff. They're going to roll it through your town on a train. Sometimes you get regulation and guidelines and laws, and sometimes you don't.
Well, less regulation. That's the Republican way, right? He did exactly as he promised. This is the policies you supported at the time. You know, I hope no one dies of the toxic chemicals being spewed into the atmosphere. No one except the pets and the fishes in the rivers, in the deep
wild animals.
Come back. More Devil's Advocates. More of your phone calls if you're not named CJ, or at least if you're not the bad one. 844-967-2789.
Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
Smash, smash, and we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now. 844-967-2789.
Now I'm sitting here, and that guy just drove by going way too fast, man. Snowy roads out there. Be careful. You know, four-wheel drive means you can get started. But I have four-wheel drive. I almost blew through an intersection today. Know what I did? I called Pat Slattery at Slattery's Automotive, and I ordered me some Noka Polita snow tires. Today, I did it. I got pizza and snow tires for lunch.
You almost slid through a stop sign today, an intersection? But, Crudy, you're a terrible driver, so I'm not surprised.
Come on, man. I even gave myself plenty of room. I was going at a reasonably slow pace. And considering I've been in the ditch and nearly blew into an intersection this week, I'm like, maybe it's time for some tires, baby.
Yeah, maybe. So, not a bad idea.
You know, call our sponsors like Pat Slattery if you need good snow tires. You know, my kid's got the Noka Haka Polita tires on his car because one of our fair listeners sold my son that car through me, and he had gone to Pat Slattery for some good snow tires. So, you know, we keep it in the family around here, Dom. 844-967-2789. It's our crazy uncle, Rico, from Rock County. How you doing, Rico?
Hey, Rico.
Yeah. Hey, getting by, man. It's nasty down here. The roads are horrible shape right now. Plowing out. So.
Well, just hey, cozy up next to the radio with the Devil's Advocates, Rico.
That's what I'm doing, yeah. But, hey, I got to commend you on that reporting there, Crudy. Oh, my gosh, you know, the 1917 rollback of the regulations. You know, I just got something to say to CJ, though. And there's your dagger. Going to sleep on that tonight. Sleep on that tonight, buddy. The truth, you know what? Sometimes the truth does hurt.
You know what? If,
but the pain. Go ahead.
Well, the truth hurts, but the pain what, man? I cut you off right before you could lay out the dagger line. What was the dagger line? The pain
goes through the night, CJ. The pain goes through the night, buddy. You're going to think about that all night. Come to find out, it was something your buddy Trump did that probably caused the whole damn thing to begin with. Lovely reporting, crew. That's why I listen to the greatest radio show on earth, right here, Diddy.
Thank you, Rico. I'm not exactly sure everything you said there, but mostly complimentary of the host, so we'll take it. Dom, I tried to make a deal with the guy last summer, and as you know, I was out doing lots of acquisitions. And tomorrow, I think we're going to have a really big announcement. I'm quite excited.
Oh, really big. I look forward to hearing that.
I hope Jeannie's listening tomorrow. That's all I'll say.
Oh,
and Dana,
excellent.
Dana needs to listen tomorrow, and Jeannie needs to listen. But I tried to make a deal with the guy last summer by a radio station because Civic Media and my partner has put a lot of resources into growing and building what I like to call the Death Star. And met a man last summer, and I was hoping to buy a radio station from him, and as fate would have it, the deal didn't work out. And the guy said to me at that time, And I knew the deal was dead when he looked me in the eye and he said, you know, once upon a time, I tried to get a cable TV station, something, something. And he said, and the day before the license was to be issued, somebody objected and I didn't get it. And I got to tell you, Mike, it stung for years. And then he looks at me and he goes, that's how this is going to feel. And I'm just saying, Dom, tomorrow on this big program, not only do we have the legal stylings of Maggie Dawn, the greatest amongst the greatest, because, you know, Jim Santel is pretty incomparable in his own regard. But Maggie Dawn's going to be on the big show in the Happier Happy Hour. And we're going to make some big announcements, Dom. And it took 42 hours of negotiation and a lot of FaceTime. But I'm going to make a big announcement on the air tomorrow. And all the sting from that meeting last summer is all gone, baby.
Oh,
it's
nice.
It's nothing but clear sailing and destruction of small moons like Endor. Because we're going to turn on the Death Star, baby. It is going to be complete very, very soon. We're going to talk about it on the air tomorrow.
I can't wait. I can't wait. And Endor, the moon survived, Curdy. That's where the little Ewoks. I think originally
which moon did they take out?
That was the home planet of
Princess Leia, right?
Yeah.
Some Star Trekkie out there right now is screaming at their radio, Crudy, it's not Endor?
No, man. Endor is the moon, wasn't it?
844-967-2789. If you know the answer, please correct me on the radio. I love when that happens. Mark from Sussex, welcome. What do you got for us, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Just a couple of questions about the whole Ohio train derailment.
Yes, sir.
First of all, I saw that Biden denied emergency assistance. And also, why did it take 10 days for your buddy Pete, as head of transportation, to come and actually see it?
That's an excellent question, Mark. I mean, I've been aware of this story for a couple of days. And quite frankly, when tragedy strikes, I don't know what the leader is supposed to do, but I want the leader on the ground. Be it Pete Buttigieg as the...
But yes and no. I mean, on the ground after, you know, because you don't want to... You don't want the president swinging... Hang on a second, though. You don't want a president, you know, swinging into a disaster, a hurricane zone, while FEMA's still doing things. You know what I'm saying? You got to give an opportunity to secure the site and start cleaning up and all those kinds of things. So while, yes, I'm assuming, Mark, that there was some effort being made by this administration. I mean, accidents happen, man. Is Buttigieg going to be on every what is his responsibility? What's
I agree with you, Mark. Shows up? I disagree with Tom. He should have been there sooner.
To do what?
But the head of transportation should have been there.
I don't disagree, Mark. And it should have been sooner. This has been going on for 2 weeks.
But what about how about denying the emergency assistance?
I don't have enough depth of understanding of the issue, Mark, and shame on me. I know the hosts are supposed to know every issue every day, and it's not possible. So today I don't know all the depth of the issue, but they are going to do my understanding, and I went to Fox Digital for this reporting. There's going to be a public statement made by the investigatory body, the Republican-run House investigatory body, and... you know, my friends, even my liberal friends, Mark, are questioning, you know, the policies. How did this happen? And part of it is my understanding, some of these rail trains are carrying too many cars. And these are private industries that are making cash, dude. And they're regulated by the government. But this is still a private train industry crash.
I don't disagree, but I also think that it has a lot to do with Ohio turning red.
I don't think that at all, Mark. I can see that point of view because that's the way the last president acted, but I don't believe it. Thank you all for listening. Be careful on the roads. Don't forget, big day tomorrow. You better tune in for it. Maggie Dawn and a really, really big announcement.